Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a bachelor's degree in sociology and a master's degree in education from Eastern Michigan University. Since 1986, he's been the executive director of the Penricton Center for Blind Children. Penricton serves blind, multi-disabled children ages 1 through 12. There's no charge to families for the services, and it relies solely on private donations for all its programs and services. His name, Kurt Siebele. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to the executive director for 31 years of Penricton Center for the Blind Children, Kurt Siebele. Kurt, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Pleased to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure, we can talk about my childhood. Well, I grew up in Northwest Detroit. And the funny thing is, when I grew up in Detroit, I never felt I lived in the city because I lived right across from Pitcher Woods. So we had woods all the time, so I felt like I was part of the country, which is interesting. Great neighborhood. And if you know the neighborhoods we grew up in, anywhere from a mile square, you knew everybody in there and everybody knew you. And then the families that grew up in that area as well, they were also, they watched out for their kids. So, you know, the neighbors took care of each other, which was interesting.
Talk about mom and dad. What's the biggest thing you learned from mom? What's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Okay. Well, my dad was initially a counselor at Cody and then an assistant principal at some of the feeder schools for the Cody schools. The biggest thing I learned with him was that if you're going to do something, do it well, do it right, do it completely. Do not stop, finish it. If you start something, you better finish it. My mom was actually a stay-at-home mom initially, and then she worked for Michigan State University. The biggest thing with my mom is always tell the truth. You better tell the truth. We're not smart enough to lie.
What's the first job you ever had, and how much did you get paid?
Ooh, the first job I ever had, I worked in a meat market over in Northwest Detroit, and I actually was I stocked, and then I actually worked my way up to where I can actually cut beef, and that's a skill I use today to this day because I use that skill when I buy meat, when I look at meat, I know what meat should look like, I know where it should be, and so forth. I was probably paid $1 an hour, maybe, I'm guessing. It was a long time ago, Jack.
What were your dreams as a kid?
My dreams as a kid, I think what I wanted to do was follow my dad in his footsteps because he was always in education. My uncle was a professor. I've got cousins who are professors. So I was going to go into education. When I was in school, I was going to become a history teacher. A history teacher. Then when I was in college, reality set in. So I changed my perspective and went a different route.
After you got out of college, what did you do?
Well, when I got out of college, I'm like one of those people who worked their way through school because that's the way it was. I didn't have a sugar daddy, so I paid my way through school working, doing odd jobs and so on and so forth. But my first job actually out of college was working as a child care worker at an adolescent program for adolescent girls. I ran that. I worked there for a year or two, then ran their education program. Because prior to that, those girls were not getting education credits in schools. So I actually took that on as a project to get those kids, those girls, actual high school credits for the very first time.
It's 1979. How was it you joined Penricton Center for Blind Children?
It's an interesting story. My wife worked for the city of Taylor, so we had to live in the city of Taylor. I'm from Detroit. She's from up north. So it's not foreign, but Downriver is a different, it has its own unique perspective. I used to drive by Penricton Center on my way to work. So one day after my job at the other program, I decided to leave my resume just to say, you know, if you got something available in the social work field or the help field or something, maybe you have something available. And I really, it's an interesting, I wore a t-shirt and blue jeans, and I wasn't dressed. The director says, come on in for an interview. I got interviewed. I was hired.
It's 1952, Kurt, and there's three families in town. The Penmans, the Rickers, and the Wigingtons. And they come together.
They come together because the Penmans and Wigingtons had blind children. And they wanted their children involved in a daycare program. But no daycare would take blind children back in the 50s, especially in the Down River area. Ricker was a mutual friend, so they decided to start a daycare for blind children. Very unique. Talk about homegrown in the unique setting of getting people together. Talk about that. This is just the vision was phenomenal. They started initially in their basement. Then they went to the fire hall. Then they used a church. We used a church for a couple of years, used the basement of a church in Taylor. Wonderful people. And they got support. And they heard more and more people needed that services. So they continued it.
Speaking of wonderful people, you actually knew the Penmans and the Wigingtons.
Yes.
Talk about them.
I met the Penmans and Wigingtons many years ago. And frankly, if it wasn't for the Wigingtons, Penricton Center would not be here. The Wigingtons were the driving force. The Penmans, I met the original children and the parents. Boy, this is a long time ago, like 38, 39 years ago. But I've remained in contact with one of the sisters. Not the child involved in the program, her sister. I remain in contact with one of the Penman sisters. The Wigingtons, they lived in Taylor. I knew them. I could see them and say hi to them. I could stop over their farm and their house. And I actually still see Marcia, one of the original children. She comes over every once in a while. She lives in Ypsilanti. And just the nicest people, but driven to make Penricton Center continue because they knew it was very important.
We're talking to Kurt Siebele. If you want to learn more, www.penrickton, PenrickTon.com. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and with Kurt Siebele, 39 years ago, you joined the Penricton Center for Blind Children, 1979. Describe the center and the programs when you came in 79.
Well, back in 1979, Penricton Center it's a residential and daycare agency, but at the time we were very small. The building was about 8,000 square feet. It had brown floors, green walls, and if you've been to a mini institution, it kind of looked like that. It was really kind of depressing. We had the little cement ceilings with little round fixture lights. It was kind of dim lit, and the rationale for that was that the children are visually impaired, so it doesn't matter what it looks like. But it does. And the very first thing that the director who hired me did was paint the building yellow. The whole building was yellow, just to get that god-awful green out of there. Programs and services were very limited. We had child care services. We had social work, a part-time social worker, and a part-time nurse. That was it. Those were our services at that time. And frankly, a lot of the kids were eligible to be in public education programs, but were not. And that's one of the reasons why I was hired. It's in my background to work with education and get children in school and credit. So I actually was able to get our children involved in special education programs.
From 79 to 85, you held various roles. What did you do?
Well, I was a social worker. Then I became the assistant director. I did both jobs for a while. And you do a little bit of everything at Penricton Center. That's the unique nature of what we did. We would do tours. We would do programming. I would do goals. I would do activities with the children. We would schedule programs and visitations, and as well as hiring people. Hiring good people is one of the toughest things that we have to do. And it continues to this day, getting good, qualified people. But we were able to start the road to get services for our children. One of the first things we did is, as assistant director, we were able to hire a occupational therapist to get our kids to work on feeding, dressing, bathing, those types of skills. We then were able to add some other ancillary services, like a speech therapist or an orientation mobility specialist, which is a person who helps blind people get around in their environment.
We're talking to Kurt Siebele. 32 years ago, Kurt, 1986. That's when I think the ball went through Billy Buckner's legs and the Red Sox lost that World Series to the Mets. 32 years ago, you become its executive director. Describe for us the facility, the plant today.
Well, back then, it was about it was 8,000 square feet, then 12,000 square feet. Today, it's a 20,000 square feet building. It allows us to serve children in a very unique way in terms of our residential program, which is 5 days a week, our daycare program. But we have unique programs and services. We have a wonderful backyard that when I started there was just overgrown, rustic with nothing in there. We actually have a functional playground with playground equipment specifically designed for our children and their needs. We have a building that has a unique track system. It's a ceiling track system to get children upright and walking. It's hard to describe it. It's used typically for in nursing homes or hospitals for moving patients. We use it to get our children upright, weight-bearing, and walking. So we offer a lot of things that no one else has.
The residential, you have 23 currently sleepover, Monday to Friday. You have 13 bedrooms. You could put 1 to 4 kids in a room. You can handle up to 33 in-house children. And then you have a daycare program as well.
So let me back up. The residential program is Sunday night through Friday afternoon. It's 5 days a week. Children stay over the week, going home on weekends, holidays, and when they're ill. So families remain involved in our program. They have to because it's their child. We offer a daycare program. Our daycare program is for children ages 1 through 6. They come to Pennerton from around about a half-hour driving distance. And the daycare program is designed to help children, again, visually impaired, multiply disabled, to become independent. We actually are in the process of taking 2 more children since you visited a couple weeks ago.
All right, let's talk about the services.
Okay.
First, occupational therapy.
We have an occupational therapist. Occupational therapy works on activities of daily living, feeding, dressing, bathing, those types of skills. Our occupational therapist does double duty in a lot of ways. She does those skills, writing up the goals for the activities for daily living, but also works on the daily living goals in terms of play goals and activities. She helps coordinate some of the events with our activities director when we do horseback riding or things of that nature. And then our occupational therapist also does tours and programs.
Backing up, Pennerton was formed in 52 as a private, nonprofit 5-day residential and daycare agency serving blind, multi-disabled children ages 1 to 12. What do you mean blind, multi-disabled?
Every child involved in our program is legally blind. They have to be legally blind. And there's 3 types of blindness for children, for the general public, where there's a problem with the physical problem with the eye. So we have children who don't have eyes. We have children with corneal problems and so forth. There's a problem with the optic nerve. The eye sees fine, but the optic nerve doesn't transmit the information. So we'll have kids with that type of problem where the optic nerve wasn't formed properly. And thirdly, we'll have children who can see, their eye can see, their optic nerve can process it, but their brain doesn't have it because they have brain damage or some sort of disability there. But so that's the visual impairment. They also have to have at least one additional disability, and that can be cerebral palsy, hearing impairments, orthopedic problems, brain damage, autism. We have a wide spectrum of kids with different disabilities.
Another service you offer is nursing.
Our nurses are responsible for the medical well-being of the children. We can handle coughs and colds and sniffles, but if a child is sick, they go home. So the nurse monitors the things that other nurses would do, you know, the weights and drinking and handles all the medications, but they also look at a holistic view of the child, working with the child and the families for the betterment of the child.
When I've had an artist in, a musician, they all say that the eternal language in the world is music, and you have music therapy.
And that's so true. We have a music therapist, and our music therapist works with the children one-on-one to get them to play instruments. The music therapy is not always about singing songs and so forth, but we can take a child who can hold a drumstick, and we can transfer that skill of holding a drumstick to hitting a cymbal to feeding themselves. If they can hold the drumstick, they can hold a spoon, they can feed themselves. So that's that life skill. But our music therapist is really great because she actually has a unique perspective on our children because she's been around with it so long. So she works with our children, getting them to play instruments, sing songs, vocalize, whatever they need to do. And it's interesting, we have a couple of our children who have, they're in the autism spectrum. They're legally blind with autism, and they have perfect pitch. Perfect pitch. She has to use the tuner to tune the guitar. These kids can do it by ear.
All right, dance and movement therapy.
Well, that's another program we offer for our families and children. Dance and movement is working with children to move their bodies in space, learn where they are. A lot of times children who have disabilities do not realize that they have these things called arms and hands and that they can do some cause and effect. So our dance and movement therapist will teach our, work with our children to bang instruments, sing songs. She has a unique example that we have steel drums. You've seen steel drums and people play steel drums. What we do with our steel drum is she works on sound localization by putting ping pong balls in there, and the kids can pick the ball up, drop the ball, and it bounces around and makes different sounds.
Developmental programming.
Developmental program is designed to get each program for each child at their level. One of the fundamental philosophies at Pennington Center is that we don't work where a child's not at. We work at where a child is. We work with their abilities and grow on that. So our developmental program works with our children with goals to get our children to be successful. Whatever that means for that child, we're going to work on play activities to be successful.
We're talking to Kurt Siebele, Executive Director, Penrickton Center. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul. We're with Kurt Siebele. If you want to learn more, www.penrickton.com. Kurt, God brought an angel to the center by the name of Dr. Lily Nielsen.
Dr. Nielsen is a doctor in Denmark who had siblings who were visually impaired. They had other disabilities, and she wanted those children, this goes back many years ago, her brothers and sisters to become active. But they never had the opportunity. So she developed a program called Active Learning, where children work to become active. We set the environment so that they can reach out, explore the world, touch things. Example of that is we have many toys today are plastic. The world is not made out of plastic. It's made out of textures, rubber, metal, and all different types and shapes and so forth. What children become active if given the opportunity. And so Dr. Nielsen developed a program called Active Learning using different specialized equipment to get children to become active who are visually impaired. We learned of Dr. Nielsen's programming about 25 years ago. And we attended a conference with Dr. Nielsen. And it's interesting because our assistant director of occupational therapist really made a connection with Dr. Nielsen. And they respected each other, but they liked each other. And so we were able to make an association with Dr. Nielsen. In fact, Dr. Nielsen invited two of my staff to go to her home in Denmark to learn about what she does in Denmark as well. From that little program and what we've done active learning programs around the country, but active learning gets children to become independent, reach out, explore, no matter what their levels of disability.
We're talking to Kurt Siebele, the executive director of Penrickton Center. Kurt, your budget, annual budget, $2 million.
Correct.
There's hard to believe. There's no charge to the families for any of the services, and you take no money from government. Kurt, that's impossible. Why don't you take money from the families?
Well, one of the founding principles that we started back in the 50s with the Penmans and Whitakers and Wigingtons was if you have a child who needs services and the parent can't pay for that services, but the child really, and you're the only program that provides these services, are you going to kick the kid out of the program? So we made a conscious decision to not charge families, and that's remained as a guiding principle for Penrickton Center from the very beginning. And so it's interesting because, you know, each year we start with a zero budget, and it's a hope and a prayer.
Where do you come up with $2 million a year, Siebele?
There's a lot of great, great, and very generous people in the metropolitan Detroit area. Now, you mentioned we receive no state, no federal, no United Way, no insurance, and there's no charge to families. So basically, our budget is developed by three different groups. The first group are individuals. We have a mail program that's run by a former parent of Pendleton, so she has a vested interest in what we're doing. But these are people around the Metropolitan Detroit who donate to Pendleton and donate on a sometimes they tithe on a monthly basis. We have other groups that donate at twice a year. So that provides roughly a third of our budget. Another third comes from service clubs. Lions clubs, of course, because they deal with the visually impaired. But we also get support from the Rotary clubs. We get support from Kiwanis, Knights of Columbus, Seroptimus, AmVets. It's a pretty broad spectrum of services, but those are service clubs that help people in need. And then lastly, we do fundraising. People do fundraising events for Penricton. Penricton really doesn't have a fundraiser on staff, so what happens is we have groups that do fundraising events for us. That could be motorcycle clubs, hot rod association, bars, churches. Pretty much we'll take money from anybody.
Your staff consists of 45 people. Some are part-time. Talk to us about your child care staff.
The child care staff are the ones who do the daily activities of daily living with the children. That's the feeding, dressing, bathing, the play activities. They coordinate with some of the volunteer programs. These are motivated people that want to make a difference in the lives of children. And you can see that every day, the care that they give of the children, for the children. And we're very, very pleased to have our child care staff because a lot of them have gone on to be teachers, other visually impaired occupational therapists, nurses. In fact, our current nursing staff, both of the nurses were child care workers at one time. So these are people who are motivated, and we're very, very selective of who we get. But they're the ones that I always tell people, if you see something, a piece of paper walking into the building, they're the ones that are going to step by and pick it up.
Currently, you have a ratio of one child care staff member for each of three children.
Correct.
And you got to have three shifts because from Sunday night to Friday,
you need people.
Okay. When I left your facility a month or two ago, you had shown me around. I said, that 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient, love is kind, on and on. Verse 7, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. The patience, and these were young people, the patience that those care workers had, Kurt, was unbelievable.
And they have a lot of patience because they see the progress that our children are making. Sometimes it's very small, and most people might not see it, but their dedication, their patience, their love of the children really comes through, and you see that every day. You can stop by any time, and we'll show you what we do. But they always hope, and that's the goal of helping each child become as independent as they possibly can. And our staff, the child care staff, are just phenomenal. I can't say enough because without them, we don't exist.
Your facility is actually in Taylor, Michigan, on Eureka, a half mile or so past Telegraph. Staff of 45, but then you have various volunteer programs.
We have a lot of unique volunteer programs. We have one volunteer program is going to be adaptive horseback riding, where we'll have horses come into Penricton, into our grounds, because we have 3 acres there, and so they can ride, so their kids can ride the horses. They will also bring other animals. So if you stop by on a Tuesday, we'll have horses, they'll bring goats, they'll bring llamas, rabbits, chickens, you never know. So that's one of the volunteer programs that we're talking about. We also have an adaptive swim program. That's one by volunteers as well. We take our kids to the local pool, and our kids get to go swimming all the time. We have a couple volunteers that do things like we have the music lady. She volunteers her time. She's different than the music therapist, but she comes in and sings songs with the children. And it's just a fun program to see and do.
Let's talk about three of your kids.
Okay.
First, Nicholas. 32 years old.
Nicholas. Nicholas came into our program at a very young age, and his mom was told that he should be placed in an institution because he's never going to do anything. But Nicholas, he's legally blind. At the time, he wasn't talking. But Nicholas, you could just tell he could see and feel things and observe things, and he could respond things. So we knew that he was aware of what's going on, but he'd had no language. But so Nicholas was interesting because he, as most children know, if you shake your head, that means no. But he couldn't tell you how to say yes. So we work with Nicholas holding his hands to best to describe it, take one hand, put it on your top of your head, one hand on your chin, and then move your head up and down to say yes. So Nicholas learned how to say yes. If you can say yes and no, you can have a conversation with children. And Nicholas made tremendous amount of progress. And like other children, Nicholas became short, so he would just tap his head for yes, and so you'd have a shorter conversation. But Nicholas learned how to walk. He learned how to feed himself, toileting. And actually went on to go into a high school and play the drums. He has made a phenomenal amount of progress, and we still see Nicholas. He's just a great little guy.
Some moms and wives listening would say, my husband or my teenage son, that's all they ever say is yes or no. All right, just joking, just
Got
joking.
It.
All right, number two, Noah, age 5.
Noah's in our program right now. You can stop over and see us. Noah is an interesting little guy because he came into the program and he demanded a lot of attention. He cried a little bit, walked around. But today, Noah, his attention span has just grown phenomenally. We have pictures of him touching things that he would never go near because he was tactically defensive. He didn't like his hands touched. We have pictures of him, and he does it all the time. He pets these animals. We had a lynx come in, a live lynx, for the kids to touch and feel, and Noah wouldn't let go of this lynx. It was just the greatest picture I've ever seen. So he's made a lot of progress, and you can see that because he's paying attention, he's making mobile, he's working on feeding, and he's working on his goals.
Oliver.
Oliver's a little guy who came into a program at a very young age. But he's now to the point where he's starting to vocalize. He's walking independently. He's carrying toys and playing. He used to just carry the toys as a tool, but now he's actually using them like you would use a regular tool and a toy and play with those. He's starting to vocalize, which is very important, and feed himself. So, you know, he's made a lot of progress in our program.
Final child, Jennifer.
Jennifer came in her program. Her mom worked for the city of Detroit. She was deaf, totally blind, which is kind of rare for children to be totally deaf and totally blind. But she was also very self-abusive. And we're talking self-abuse where she broke her nose, she broke her jaw, she broke her arm, severe self-abuse. But our staff worked patiently, which gets back to your Corinthians verse, patiently with her, and over the years taught her to how to self-restrain, become independent. So she actually, when she left our program, she was a normal little girl she had deaf blind, but she had some ability to communicate. It was just amazing the phenomenal turnaround that she made. Can't say enough about our staff and what they did for her.
We're talking to Kurt Siebele, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to the executive director for the last 32 years of Penrickton Center for the Blind Children, Kurt Siebele. Kurt, what have these children taught you these last 39 years that you've been
Take
there?
Each day for what it is. You never know what's going to happen. I've been very blessed because I can see the changes that we make, and I'm very honored to be able to serve the children and families. You're humble because you see the changes that they make, but more importantly, with the help that we get from the community, Penrickton Center doesn't exist. And I have to say that every day, you never know who's going to walk through the door, but you never know who's going to help you. And that's taught me to be very, very thankful for the gifts we are given.
Speaking of thankful, talk to us about the families.
Our families come from all walks of life. One of the things that they have in common is they happen to have a blind child with another disability. So we have parents who have little or very little education, people who have college degrees, people with master's degrees, but they're just, you know, they're looking for someone to help them. And they have to look at Penricton Center and come to Penricton Center and say, I need your assistance. We need your help. Yes, we offer programs and services that no one else offers, but they have to make that first step. And our parents are, you know, very respectful of what we do, but more importantly, they appreciate what we're able to do and they appreciate what the community is able to give them.
Kurt, you mentioned in a previous segment that you don't have a development director. So for 39 years, you've been out there schlepping, asking for money. Don't you get tired of asking for money?
No, I don't. I don't ask that much a lot of times. But what happens is, and this is one of the things, we don't have a development director because it's my philosophy that a development director has to raise their salary plus. If you want a program at Penricton, you either visit or you want a program outside. If I'm not available, you can talk to our nurse. You can talk to our occupational therapist. You can talk to the activities director because they know the kids and they can answer every question that I can't. And it's very important because we want people to make that connection. And so each day is different. And I, again, like I mentioned before, I'm very honored to be able to do things and thank people for what their generosity is.
Speaking of thanking of people, you told me when I toured the facility, quote, Jack, we don't ask. We just tell people what we need, and God does the rest. It's very obvious. God is your partner, isn't he?
Yes, he is. It's interesting because we let people know what our needs are, and amazingly, things happen, and they show up. We needed a certain thing. It shows up. And I think part of that gets back to come to visit Penricton. Don't have preconceived notions. When you walk in, you'll see what we do and how we do it and why it's such a special place. And hopefully you'll want to make a donation.
Speaking of special, you've been a motorcycle enthusiast since you were a teen. The motorcyclists in this area have been phenomenal for Penricton, please.
They have. Motorcycle people have been very generous. People have a preconceived notion for some of the bikers, but we have a lot of groups and organizations that help us out. We do an annual ride. Not only do they raise money for Penricton, they do things, they talk about Penricton to their friends, to their coworkers, to their employers. We've had a lot of our biking friends, motorcycle friends, talk to their employees to become donors to Penricton. And I have to say, there's the most generous people you're ever going to meet.
How can someone get involved, Kurt?
If you would like to volunteer at Penricton Center, all you need to do is just call us up at Penricton Center for Blind Children, 734-946-7500. Ask for our volunteer coordinator, and we can volunteer with our kids or do some activities with whatever we need done. If you want to stop by, you don't need an appointment, Monday through Friday, visit. We'd love to show you what we do and how we do it.
Another group of angels that God gave you many years ago are the men and women from the Woodhaven Ford Stamping Plant.
The Woodhaven Stamping Plant started many years ago by doing a Christmas party for our children. They would do a Christmas party, and then eventually that led to continuing with the Christmas party. But again, through another friend of a friend, they approached us and said they'd maybe like to do a small golf outing for us. This goes back 21 years ago. They did a golf outing for the employees. Their very first outing they did for us, they gave us a coffee can with $4,000 in it cash. I suggested they might want to get a checking account. From that, it's actually one of our biggest fundraisers of the year. It's called the Frostbite Open. It's put on my Woodhaven Stamping Plant, as well as Dearborn Stamping and a couple other plants. But what's interesting about that plant, the individuals saw what we were doing. They used to do car raffles for us back in the early 80s. Great group of people, have been wonderful to Penricton. Actually, Ford Motor Company has been a phenomenal support.
If you want to learn more, www.penricton.com. On November 5th and 6th, you have a conference, Active Learning Conference.
We have an Active Learning Conference. It's a conference designed for parents, for occupational therapists, teachers, anybody who's interested in learning more about active learning. It's a two-day conference. We do a tour. You get some really hands-on information from Patty Oberzett, who is our assistant director, who is lectured and has been authorized by Dr. Lily Nielsen to lecture around on active learning. And she's the foremost expert in the United States.
Let's say there's a parent tonight that has just had a child born blind. And he says, I'm mad at God. This should have never happened. Why is God hurting me? What do you say to that parent?
You can't be mad at something that happens to a child. What happens is a child is born and you have a preconceived notion of what that child was going to be and where they're going to go. You have these dreams for that child. And every parent has that. But we've had parents, as it's been explained to me, the best thing I can tell you is that it's like you're planning a trip to go to France. You have this plan in your mind, what you're going to do. You decorate the room and you did these things, but you had a child with these disabilities. That child is a child. They can love. They can do the same things. A little bit slower, maybe a little bit differently, but they're a child. So your plans to go to France kind of did a detour. You're going to Greece. Greece has things to offer just as well as France, just a little bit different. We want people to think about what they're doing and, you know, talk to people. There's a support system out there for you. You need to reach out, and we'd love to be part of it.
We're talking to Kurt Siebele, who for the last 39 years has toiled at Penricton Center for Blind Children, they serve blind, multi-disabled children, ages 1 through 12. There is no charge to families for the services. They've never charged a penny to any family, and it relies solely on private donations for all its programs and services. Kurt, you're a phenomenal human being.
Well, and I want to correct you. I never toil. Each day is different, and I enjoy coming to work.
I'm sorry. Thanks a million for all you do. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn. Believe in yourself.